that's like the most worshipful filled announcements ever in all the land. It's like, God, we're just gonna keep on playing. I love it. It's so good. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jill. I am typically residing with the Inner East Posse down on the Lower Newtownards Road. They actually this morning are meeting in the Crown Jesus building. Thank you, Mitch and Amanda, because we find ourselves in a little bit of a sticky situation where there's just some problems with the building. So honestly, please pray into that. We are pretty much like homeless people right now, just journeying along anywhere that will have us down there. But actually, it feels exciting, right? We're like this movement of God's people worshiping in whatever space will have us right now. So please pray for them. They no doubt will send their love this morning. I am married to the wonderful Aaron. He is a very energetic worship leader and energetic guy all around. And he is in Dublin this morning. So we're kind of like this, you know, missional family. I'm here and he is down in Dublin. I think maybe he got a good deal there. I don't know. But I got the best deal because look at you. You are just great. But if you are with us this morning for the first time, we have been following a sermon series over the summer that it means if you've been on holiday, you don't miss a whole series. It's kind of like standalone sermons, but we've been looking at certain Hebrew words and the weight that they have and the teaching and the things that we can glean from the language in the Bible. And this morning, we are going to look at the word Shabbat, which is, in English, Sabbath. Now, before you run out and go, I'm so fed up listening to Sabbath talks, right? Trust me, this is going to be okay, right? We're all in this together. I feel like the church in general in the world is not shutting up about Sabbath, but let's take it as this thing that we need to listen, right? God is clearly trying to speak to us about this concept of Sabbath. And so the word itself, Shabbat, literally means to cease, right? Just to stop, to rest. And I want to read out the passage of scripture in Exodus 20, where this word kind of takes on a little bit of a meaning for God's people as he gives it to them as part of his commandments. So that must mean it's really important because he commands his people to practice Shabbat. So in Exodus 20, beginning at verse 8, it says this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he declared it holy." So Shabbat in Israel is a pretty big deal. It is huge. As a nation, they celebrate Shabbat from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, right? This 24-hour period known as Shabbat. And you will typically hear people greet each other in the nation of Israel, Shabbat Shalom, right? Shabbat Shalom, that whole 24-hour period when you get in touch with someone, it's Shabbat Shalom. So you know the word Shalom means wholeness and peace and everything coming together. And so their declaration over one another is that we pray that your Sabbath, your Shabbat, will be whole, that you encounter something today that you didn't encounter in the last 6 days, but Shabbat Shalom to you. And life in Israel to this day looks different. Very different. And I can remember going there, and for those of you who roll your eyes, yes, I know I was there. Yes, I know I plagued your Instagram feeds. I know, and I will again if I get to go. And you can mute me, and I'll give you prior warning. But I was in Israel, in case you didn't know, right? And the thing that I discovered in Israel is that it literally does shut down sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. It is really bizarre. The whole thing goes quiet. Restaurants shut down. You see people rushing to get home before the sun sets. And of course, there are other cultures and other nations that now live there as well. And so you've got this like mixture of people all practicing different things. And the interesting thing was, I remember standing in our hotel and I was trying to go up to our room to grab something like a coat or a jacket or something. And I'm in the lift and I see this guy, you know, he's got the ringlets, he looks Jewish, and we stand there and I go, Shabbat Shalom, right? We're all good. And then we just stand there, right? And I'm just like waiting, I don't know, I'm just like in the lift, nothing is happening, and he's looking at me. And then it dawned on me, right, that he is breaking Sabbath if he makes the lift work, right, because he's making it have energy. So he's waiting on Gentile, Jill, right, breaking Shabbat to get the lift going, right? So I'm like going, I said, you're freeloading off my sin. Okay, there we go. So we go to our room, right? And I realize that, oh, they really do take this seriously. I remember going even into the bathroom, and I'm noticing that there's certain things aren't working, like the soap dispenser, because it's electrical and it's expending energy. It's now not working. The water's not coming out, but now there's jugs of water that they have prepared, right? Jugs of water sitting along the edges of all of the bathrooms that if you don't want to use the automatic stuff, you get to do that. And so it's so interesting, isn't it, that they literally take this very seriously, this idea of ceasing and a day that looks different. And to this day, it still looks different in Israel. Somewhere in the mix of everything, from Friday to Saturday, in the Christian calendar, Sunday became really important. You think about the things that happened on a Sunday. The resurrection happened on a Sunday. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming and resting on the people, it happened on a Sunday. And so then all of a sudden in Scripture, you have Sunday. Is this really important day? And on the 3rd of March in 321 AD, the first Christian Roman emperor basically declared Sunday is now going to be the Roman day of rest. So we find ourselves in this like random mix of is Sabbath Friday? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? What do we do here? And for us, Sunday has become a very significant day, hence why you're all sitting here, right? And I find myself talking to you, right? Bit random, really, when you think about it. But we find ourselves honoring this day. As a child who grew up in the 80s, I hated Sunday, like hated it. Like even now, the feelings are starting to come there. But it was the most boring day on the planet. You weren't allowed to do anything, right? Now, it has changed a little bit, and some of you are going, bring it back, right? We'll have that discussion. You can have that over lunch. That would be great. But I remember, like, for some reason, I wasn't allowed to go out and play ball in the street. You just weren't allowed to do that. The idea of watching too much TV, right? So it was a real restrictive day. Pretty much all you could do was go to church, Sunday school, and go and visit your granny, right? So... Right, that was pretty much the only options, right? TV, no. Cinema, no. Playing football, no. Not until tomorrow. Like, all of this stuff was banned. And my grandparents' house honestly used to wreck me because they used to have this big feed. And then we were part of a family. Like, now I appreciate it as an adult, but everyone would just fall asleep, right? Whilst Coronation Street's rerunning, right? And I'm like, this is honestly boring. But I wasn't even allowed to go out to the garden because that's playing, right? So we were, anyone else Northern Irish and identifying with this, how like our childhoods were traumatized, right? And so I realized that Sabbath for me was this word that I just did not appreciate it. It was filled with do nots. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It was absolutely boring. But regardless of my perception and regardless of my experience and your experience, there's something where we're invited into this idea, because the commandment is super clear. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember Shabbat and keep it holy. A day that is different, a day that is set apart, a day of rest after a working week. As a child, I found that boring. As an adult, I'm like, yes. Yes, I do want 24 hours of rest. I do want 24 hours that look differently. And around the church in general, worldwide, this idea is a hot topic. You think about all of the books that have been written in the last 4 or 5 years, this idea of Sabbath, it's popular. Well-known preachers are consistently preaching about Sabbath. And it's become this thing in culture where even in the secular world, they're starting to identify this idea of a rhythm between work and rest. And actually, COVID was something that kickstarted that. And huge companies have decided to basically, instead of having a 5-day working week, they're offering their staff 4-day working weeks. And the reason for that is their companies all scrambled together because staff were burning out. In COVID, when you work from home, it just became like this overload of activity in your home and your computer. When you weren't allowed out, it's like, where is the difference between work and rest? Like, what is that about? And so a lot of studies were done in Iceland and Japan in particularly. And basically, to keep employees engaged, they went to a 4-day week, trying to figure out people need rest. We don't need to work people as much. And so you can go and read about that online. It's absolutely fascinating. And all of that is well and good. It's all well and good saying, we don't want to work so hard. We want to rest, but there is something about Shabbat that is more than just having a lazy day, right? There's more about Shabbat that is more about not having just this day off where, oh, I'm exhausted, I've worked really, really hard. It's an invitation to something really divine, right? Hannah got up and read all about the divine presence. It's an invitation on this day to encounter something different. The commandment in Exodus refers back to this idea in verse 11. The Lord made heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he declared it holy. And like everything, it pushes us back into the account of creation. How there was something about that week where God works really hard, but then he ceases from his work and he rests. And I think the fascinating thing, which I've never really picked up before, the God, when he makes things, right, when he makes things and he inhabits those things, every single day he calls it good. Right, then he gets to mankind and he says, well, this is very good. But the day, the seventh day, he doesn't call it good. He calls it holy. Right, so all of this stuff that he's done is good. But God takes this moment, not a thing, because it's a time, it's a concept of time. God takes this time frame and he says, all of this stuff is good. But there's this moment in time that I'm going to call holy. It's different, where it's not about stuff, but it's about this invitation to encounter something really divine. And this makes a whole lot of sense whenever you think about God making this a commandment in Exodus. When you think about the story and the journey of the Israelites and what they're journeying in Egypt. Actually, when God invites them to move from Egypt and come into this place and gift them Sabbath, think what's happening in their story. Pharaoh is building his empire, right? He is working them so hard. Those people grow up, born into an environment where there is no rest at all. It is work, 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 really, really hard. When God sends Moses to instigate that idea of bringing them out of captivity and into freedom, what does Pharaoh do? He gets annoyed and says, well, do you know what? Yours are going to work harder, because if you have time to go and worship your Lord, well, then do you know what? You have time to gather all the things that I need for you to build my building, right? So they're overworked and they don't know what it is to rest. In Egypt, the thing that Egyptians, that empire were valuing was stuff, right? The thing that the children of Israel were building was bigger spaces for Pharaoh's stuff, right? Things become really, really valuable. And whenever you have things, you want more. And yet God is inviting his people, I'm going to have you leave that. And I'm going to invite you to a place where there's rest. You've had no rest, but I want you to operate in a place of rest. God is taking them away from a production line, and he's inviting them into something really different. Here's the thing that I don't want us to miss. Sabbath is a commandment, right? To rest is a good thing, but this is not about not working, right? Because it says 6 days you're going to work, 6 days you're going to put your hand to the thing that I have created you to do. But there is a day that is different. You think whenever they're in the wilderness and that manna that comes from heaven, what does the Lord instruct them to do? He said, on the sixth day you're to collect double because I'm going to provide for you on the seventh day. So the seventh day you can rest because I've already got it. And you hear the them, which is really interesting. They pick it up every day, and if they take too much, it spoils. And some of them chance their arm, right, and try to lift more, and it rots. Some of them don't lift enough, all of the things. But the people who then go out on the Sabbath to look for it, it's like they've forgotten. Well, I've already done that, right? There's something even in that day. There's a double portion for the Sabbath. And what God was saying to his people, he's like, I want to bring it out of you, right? I want to eliminate this idea that you have to do everything. I want to eliminate the idea that it's all about you producing. It's all about your effort. It's all about your worries and concerns. I want you to have a day where it's on me. Does that not sound really, really inviting, right? So Sabbath to the people of God was a gift. It was like a choice. Are you going to be restless the way you were in Egypt, where it's all about stuff? Or are you going to be restful? Are you going to realize that I'm the one that provides for you, that I'm the one who sees you, that I'm the one who actually today, this seventh day, I want to actually encounter you. I want to walk with you in the cool of the day, this day that is marked as holy. And I think for us in modern culture, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we still living a little bit of the empire story? Are we always on the hustle? We want bigger, we want better, we want more. We're always chasing something, and we got to keep our hand in, and we got to keep going faster, and we got to be better than the people around us. Or do we have this deep understanding that instead of us chasing all the things, Sabbath day invites us to have this moment where we understand actually it's God that chases you, right? You don't need to chase the stuff. God is chasing you, and he's inviting you into something entirely different, a total different posture than you having to do all of this. He's inviting you into this restfulness, which is a total resistance to the way the world around us works, right? Because we don't get that, right? We think we have to do everything ourselves. And I think there's something beautiful. And I think the reason why Sabbath is being talked about so much is God is going, please wake up, people. There is something so much more about the stuff. There is me in the middle of it, and I long to meet with you. A famous Jewish scholar called Abraham Joshua Heschel said this, the seventh day is like a palace in time with a kingdom for all. It's not a date, but it's an atmosphere. Right? Just think about that. It's not a date. It is an atmosphere. This palace in time, because you remember the day, it's hard to put like stuff you can see and feel. A day is a day, right? It's kind of up there. It's a concept. Time is this concept, and it's God that's going, it's this time, it's this moment in time. That's what's super holy. That's where it's a different atmosphere, and this is where I'm inviting you into, out of all of this, and I'm inviting you into a palace in time to spend with me. That sounds way more inviting to 8-year-old Jill, right, than don't play football, right, on the Sabbath, right, because you've ruined the Sabbath for all, right? But this sounds more inviting that there is a God who sees me, knows me, loves me, and wants to hang out with me, and wants me to get a different perspective on the world. That's amazing. This day gives us a glimpse into an eternity and a reminder that there's so much more. There's another realm. There's another kingdom. There's another way. And the Sabbath allows us to realign ourselves into the story of God. And I always just love that in the story of creation, man's first day is Sabbath, right? That man's first day is one of rest. And so Shabbat, Sabbath, today for you and I, should be this reset. It should be this moment where we are being pointed to a truth that actually you were made for eternity, right? You haven't turned up to work today. You're in church, and let this space be this place, this community of people be a community of people that goes, why are we gathered here today? We're gathered here today because there's something more, right? There's something so much more than everything we've done all week. This is different, right? We get to join together. We know that when we worship for some really bizarre way, and I don't even understand it, God turns up when we worship him. God turns up when we open the Bible. God turns up in all of these really strange ways. And then to melt your head even more, does he actually turn up, or was he already here? And did all of these things just really make us aware of him? Because that's true too, right? But there's something where his presence is known when we gather together. So Sabbath, a palace in time, and an atmosphere of rest. I loved the idea of that 4-day week thing, But the reason when you read all around the four-day week and why people are giving their staff four-day weeks is because they'll be well-rested to work harder, right? Well-rested to work harder, which is great, but that's not actually Shabbat, because Shabbat is an invitation to stop all of the working hard and to remind ourselves that life is not about products and things and stuff, because when life becomes all about products and things and stuff, we become more restless about the products and things and the stuff. Anyone else? The more you have, the more you worry about it, and it becomes this rat race. And as the people of God, the invitation is like, I want you to move away from that. I don't want you to live that way. I am pulling you from restlessness towards rest. So instead of Sabbath being boring, it is this beautiful gift for a people who've been overworked. Whenever we get to the New Testament, Sabbath is really observed, right? But there still seems to be, when you read all of the Gospels and you start to see Jesus and his interactions that he has with people on Sabbath, you start to realize that there actually is this underlying restlessness, right? And it's a real religious one. You see that it had become all about the extra rules, right? That the Pharisees had added even more restrictions to Sabbath. You were only allowed to walk so far. Like if you went one step more, you'd broken Sabbath. You'd done too much work today, right? You couldn't pick things, right? You remember the disciples when they're hungry and they're picking the grain to eat it? Well, they'd broken Sabbath. And then Jesus really interestingly starts challenging these ideas and he says, hang on a wee second, right? Really, we're breaking Sabbath? Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so what we see in the New Testament is this idea that they observe Sabbath, but they totally miss the heart of it. And that's the atmosphere that Jesus steps into. A religious system that had become all about rules. A religious system that had become all about performance. You gotta do more. You gotta behave better. You gotta be the most holy, right? It became all about them trying to make themselves holy, right? It had become all about their activity. So talk about overworked again. Even in the spiritual world, you can be overworked, anyone, right? And here's the beautiful thing, even in that, the beautiful reminder of Sabbath, even when Jesus says, I'm telling you, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You don't get to create your intimacy with me. I come close to you and I'm intimate with you and therefore will grow in intimacy. You don't get to have to perform to get me to come close. I come close anyway, right? You just come as you are. I want to hang out with you. This idea that we have to be holy enough and better enough becomes all about a restlessness with religion. And Jesus came to blow that out of the park. This is what he says in Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus rewrites this and he says, Sabbath, rest, is actually found in me. It's actually found in a person. This idea that you are anxious about stuff and you're working really hard, even for your own salvation. No, I want you to come to me. I want you to rest with me. I want you to understand my life and my plan that I have for you. Jesus becomes the embodiment of Sabbath rest. And as people of his way, right, we need to start reclaiming that Sabbath rest for ourselves. And I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know the speed of it. I don't know the hustle that you have going on. But taking a moment in time, right, a moment in time to remember that he has created an atmosphere where you just get to be, right, his. You just get to be his. You're a human being, not a human doing, all of that language. But you just get to go, because he holds your world. And you know that, but some of you are still running around like you're holding your world. And I get it. When you're an adult, you've all these responsibilities. I get it. But he is the one who holds it all together. And if we believe it, we've got to be okay at taking this even 24-hour period initially to go, he's the one who's got it. David Hofbrand, in his book, thank you, Alison Robinson, for recommending this. It says, the week is often about the speed of life, but the Sabbath is more about the direction in which you're going. And the direction where you and I are going is actually an eternal rest, right? An eternal rest where actually we will understand this in a completely different way. And a moment in time becomes all of time. And we'll suddenly be in this space where there is no striving, no performance, no work, no all of things. But yet only a moment is to be in his presence. And we get glimpses of it on days like this, but this is just a glimpse. We still got to go and do life, right? So it's not about just sitting as holy Joes and never leaving this building. As lovely as that would be. Life is continuing, but we're learning how do we do life from a place of rest, but still do life, right? We've got to figure that out, and that is what the joys of this is. We are headed for eternity, and we've got to learn what it is to enjoy his presence. So this is not about what you don't do. It's to mark a palace in time. So how are you going to do this, right? So hopefully that will have given you a little bit of an excitement about, do you have a 24-hour period where you change your perspective, where you stop, where you cease? What does it actually look like to practice this idea of Shabbat? So the thing is, and I've got three P's because that's all good things, good preacher notes have. So the first one is this, prepare, right? So if Sabbath is going to be restful for you, if you're going, I want to embrace this, I want to practice this idea in my life. I want to take 24-hour period, sunset to sunset, and I want to figure out what the Lord wants to do with that. I'm going to give you my time, and I want to encounter you, and I want to see you, and I want to have a divine moment with you. What does that actually look like? Well, you have to prepare for it, right? If you want it to be restful, then you've got to have all the activity done so that you're not going, I forgot that and I have to run to the shop or whatever. I don't know if you remember the 5-2 diet that came out. Anyone remember that? I'm like, I love diets. I'm such a crash dieter. So bad for your health. But all the diets I will try, right? And 5-2, when it came out, I just thought, this is class. This sounds really, really easy. 2 days where you kind of fast. There's nothing holy about that, by the way, right? 2 days where you just like hardly eat, and then 5 days that you do, and there could be any 2 days. Well, what I discovered was like, you needed to really prepare for that. So I would start at the start of the week and go, well, that's going to be my fast day. Come on. And then I would bump into someone like, do you want to go for coffee? I'm like, I will. I'll totally go for coffee. I'll do my fast tomorrow, right? And then tomorrow would come and someone else going, oh, you're coming for dinner? No sweat. I'll be there, right? Now fast has moved to Wednesday, right? And then I just kept moving. My fast days just kept moving until pretty much it wasn't 5-2, it was 31, right? Because I just like kept moving the window of 5-2. And I really realized something with this, that see, if we don't have a time marked, it'll just become anybody's. If we don't have something set where we actually turn off our phones, maybe for some of us, where we are engaging life a little bit differently, where some of us need to step away from our laptops and go, this is not opening for a 24-hour period. And actually, I'm going to, you know what, iPhones are amazing. On the days that I Sabbath, I turn my do not disturb on, and the only people that disrupt that are Aaron, the kids, and my mum. Sorry to Aaron's parents. You can get him. But that's the only people that will come through. So I actually typically don't get any messages in that 24-hour period. And the thing is, it's a practice. We're meant to be practicing this. And of course, praying, because we're not just doing this like as another religious thing that we have another thing to do. Remember, that's what Jesus came. No, that's not what this is. This isn't one more thing to your to-do list. We're moving away from that and moving to a place of rest. And then the whole idea is you got to choose a day that works for you. You've got to create routine, and it has to cultivate some delight in you, right? This is supposed to be something that's enjoyable, a day where you get to rest, a day actually that probably might involve some of your nearest and dearest if they don't annoy you and actually take your eyes off of the Lord, because some people do that, right? But being around people who point you to the truth of the kingdom, being around people who encourage you in your walk with the kingdom, and if you get it wrong, try again. Consistency is so key. You know, we are due today to practice communion together, receive communion together. And whenever Charlotte saw my name on the list, I was like, right, she goes, you're going to want to go into communion, aren't you? Me, 100%. I adore this practice of receiving communion together. It is amazing. And what I'm actually going to do, because it's going to take me a few minutes to tell a story, I'm going to invite our stewards to come up and just give you communion and just hold it, because we're going to do this together because it's so beautiful. But I think if ever there was a response to a talk about rest, the art of receiving and the practice of receiving communion screams rest, because here is a meal that is not about us. Here is a meal where Jesus goes, I've done all of this work, right? It's my blood, it's my body, and I am just giving it to you. This gift, this beautiful meal that we practice rest in. I can remember a season in life where God was screaming from all channels this idea of Holy Communion. You can just start giving that out, guys. I'm just going to talk over you. But I can remember a season in life of just really trying hard spiritually, right? And for those of you who don't know me very well, I have three daughters. My oldest daughter, Lily, who's now 18, almost 19, was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when she was a newborn. And that has been a journey that we have been on over and over and over again, multiple times in hospital. But there was a season in life where every single winter we would be in hospital. 3 or 4 years running, we were in hospital. And it's always at those moments you start to realize that actually, that's really difficult. Hospital life is really difficult. She was typically healthy and you wouldn't know there was anything wrong with her. And then there were these little moments when she would get a full-on infection and it would be all hands on go to try and get her healthy and restored and get her lungs working properly. And with every time she was in hospital, her lungs would decrease in function every single time. And we had got to the point where her lung scores were low 60s, which was not good. Whenever you hit 30s, 40s, they're talking about lung transplant. And so we were really aware that we had watched the figures come down quite dramatically. And I can remember, just because it's me and I'm like, I try to fix all the things. I read every single book there was on healing. I listened to every single sermon there was on healing. I tried all the things. If there was a prayer line, she was in it. If there were anointing people, she was there. If they were casting things out, she was there, right? We're doing all of the religious things, right? All of the practices for me, I guess, in my own effort to try and know that we'd covered all the bases. And I can remember feeling that restlessness, that religious restlessness going, because nothing is fixing this. And I remember even close friends going, Jill, I really think you just need to read books on love now, because you're really trying to just jump on all of this formula stuff. And I think God just wants you to rest. I'm like, I will not rest until this is sorted, right? Anyone else identifying with this at all? And I can remember this moment where actually, Erin and I went to a women's conference to hear this wee blade of a girl from Portadown called Charlotte Kern, who everyone was talking about. She was speaking at that, and she goes, when am I going to hear this girl? Because everyone's talking about her. And we went, and we sat there, and Charlotte preached a blinder, as she always does, and we are so blessed to have her as part of our family here. She's amazing. And one of the things that she was talking about was Gideon. And she was talking about that moment when Gideon is given the battle plan for the Lord, you know, where his soldiers are decreased in number. And it seems like the worst battle plan. And in her time of ministry, she was saying, like, some of you are having a battle right now. And the funny thing was, I had just left hospital. So Lily was actually in hospital when this conference was happening. And I just kind of left Aaron and her there to go to this conference. And she's like, some of you are facing a battle, and you need to ask the Lord what the battle plan is. And I remember leaning in, because Aaron was with me, so I leaned into Aaron, and I was like, do you know what's really bad? I don't actually think I've asked what the battle plan is. And Aaron looks at me going, shut up. No, I actually don't think I have. But I'm kind of excited, because I know in moments like this before have happened when I just sense something and I feel like the Lord is going to show up in a really real way. And so we prayed together. I actually went and told Charlotte all that. She prayed over me, and it was great. And I can remember then, over the next month, just loads of stuff kept coming up about communion over and over and over again. And I remember sitting one day, just, you know, doing my study and praying, and it was almost like the Spirit's going, okay, do I genuinely need to send, like, somebody to the door to tell you that this is your battle plan? Because, like, there's something about this meal is your battle plan. And I remember not really understanding. I chatted to Erin about it, and she goes, I think that's so cool. I was like, what? And she goes, because you know what? You don't have to do anything. You just have to take it. Of course the Lord is telling you that that's your battle plan, because you're always trying to fix things. And in this meal, you just get to sit You just get to receive it because it's all him. He does all the work and he does all the fixing. And so this meal became this really important thing for me, right? And I took it every day, every morning. And there was something, it wasn't the practice of it. So some of you will go, that's my formula. I've got to do that. Remember, God works with your heart. There's something where the Lord was doing something in me. He's going, Jill, this isn't about you chasing. This isn't about you figuring it out. I just want to meet you at this moment. And I want you to know I hold you and I hold Lily and I have got this. And I need you to rest in this. I need you to rest in the finished work of the cross and not even try and think about it. And so I practiced that every day for a year. And it did something in me. I became this non-anxious mother of a sick child and just became really excited at the things God was going to do in and around her. Lily never went into hospital again and still hasn't been in hospital, by the way. Medication, interactions, all of the things. Got medication that she shouldn't have got, but got it. Lung functions went from low 60s to 103 in 3 days, right? And I know like God is a God who can heal her like that without meds. But actually, we've seen his hand work in the medical field to bring about something. And we're still going to believe for a total healing where she doesn't need to pop the pills, right? We're still believing and we're still praying. But I cannot tell you how much this meal that you're holding released something in me. Released me from the worry of working to do it, to just resting. And I think what a beautiful way for us to respond to a talk on Shabbat by simply having a meal together where we didn't work to get it. And it's a gift. And it's a gift to you. And I don't know what is going on in you or around you, but the elements that you're holding is this invitation for you to encounter something divine. Because as much as he's present in worship and as much as he's present in a special way when his word is taught, he's also present in a really special way when we receive these elements. So why don't you stand with me? We're going to stand and do communion together. And I just want to pray over us as you respond by taking the juice and by taking the bread, that something in your inner being would shift, that you would encounter a rest like no other, that you would go from striving to ceasing, that you would go from restlessness to restfulness, and that you would know the King of Kings holds you and sees you and has you in all of your things. Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken, your blood that was shed, a meal that you so freely give us. It is so free. And you use it to speak to us. So Holy Spirit, will you come and minister to us right now as we take the cup, as we take the bread together in community. May we encounter this palace in time. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Where wholeness comes right now. In his name, where healing happens because he's here. Where encounter happens because he's standing right with you and he sees you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for reshaping and reframing everything. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to worship together, but Shabbat Shalom to you all. I want you to all say that on the way out. Amen.